Okay, so the name of this workshop is Our Only Hope is to Live by the Example of Those Who Have Forced Our Dilemma, or Faced Our Dilemma, and Who Have Found a Way Out, basic text page 19. And our first presenter is going to be John C.
Hey, John.
Don't fall.
My name's John. I'm an addict.
Hey, John.
I thought there was going to be more readings. I thought I had more time. I'm pretty nervous, man. I haven't had a lot of time to obsess on this the last few weeks or so. I will say I have tried to back out of this commitment in my head about 10 times. I've had a lot of stuff going on at work, and it's just been crazy, man. I've been working like 15 hours a day all week, and there's a lot more to do. And I manage this crew, and we got a bunch of stuff going on. I got three new guys, and none of them know what the hell's going on. So I felt like I needed to be there to give them some direction, but like, per Ethan's suggestions, I like talked to my boss about it several times, and they just kept telling me, give them some direction and go on your trip, man. And so, so I did that. And then I was trying to work till noon yesterday, and my wife was telling me that she's leaving at 9:30, and it's either be there at 9:30 or drive by myself. So I was like, all right, well, so I was there at 9:30, and I made it up here, man. We had a great trip, had some good speakers yesterday, man. I've really enjoyed the convention so far. Great itinerary, just jam-packed full of stuff the whole time. I know I was at Orkna a couple years ago, and there were some lulls in the action, and it was like we were going other places to kind of have a makeshift meeting just so we had something going on. And so I'm just real grateful for the committee and Ethan asking me to come share and putting on this convention. Like, I know it's a lot of work just for a group anniversary event, let alone a whole weekend convention, you know. So thanks to the committee, and thanks for having me here. So, you know, like, I'm real grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, man. It's given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. Like, I never expected, like, I just came here with a drug problem, right? I just wanted to stop hurting, and I wanted to just be okay with being me, and I was not able to find that through any other avenue. Like, I had tried everything else, medicine, religion, psychiatry, all those things, man, and it wasn't until I got with another addict that had been through what I've been through and found a way out, that I was able to find any kind of relief. You know, I was able to identify on a deep level, and like, there's some credibility there. You know, like, as much as the counselors or my mother or religion or whatever it was tried to help me, man, nobody understood, you know. And they would say things like, why don't you just stop, you know? And it's like, I don't know why I didn't think of that. Maybe I should have tried that, you know? And I just had no power on my own to, like, stop doing what I was doing. And I found that relief in Narcotics Anonymous when I would come to the meetings and people would share my story, you know, and maybe not the exact same place or the exact same substances or whatever, but the feelings, man. And you know what I got the most hope out of is those addicts with those experienced members in the rooms that would share about like how the disease of addiction was affecting them today, how it was manifesting in their lives, and how they were getting through it now, you know. At my home group, we have a member there, and we kind of go back and forth on this idea that we should, when we're sharing, we should share about like the drug use, the most obvious symptom, because that's how newcomers identify and all these things. That's what he says. But like, for me, that wasn't like the part that attracted me to Narcotics Anonymous and actually working a program. like I said, it was those members that would share about how it's affecting them today and how the program applied to their lives now, you know. Because once, you know, the most obvious symptom is gone, like, I'm still fucked up, like I'm still an addict, you know. And I thought the drugs were the problem for so long, man, in and out of treatment centers, you know, I'd get a little clean time together, and I'd go back, and I'd try to make, like, I was always searching for the magic formula, like our literature talks about, like I was trying to make, not in drugs necessarily, but I was trying to make the outward appearances of my life look the way that I thought they were supposed to look. You know, I get the job, get back with the kids and their mom and like do all the things, and things would go good for a little while, like 90 days or less, and then life on life's terms would happen, and you know, I'd go back down that same road, man. I had no solution, you know. And I found that solution in Narcotics Anonymous. My topic comes out of how it works right before the steps. So it's like, what do, man? I get a sponsor and I start putting pen to paper and start working steps, man. And that's when my life really began to change. And it's still true for me today. Any situation that I go through in my life, frustration, whether it be work, finances, with the wife, with friends in recovery, at the home group, no matter what, like I always, my solution is still to live by the example of those who face my dilemma and found a way out. I reach out until I find somebody that has experience in that area, or at least an understanding of the program and the spiritual principles contained within it, of how to apply that to that situation and get through it on the other side, you know, with some dignity and some self-esteem, because, you know, still, my gut reaction is to go to acting out on some defects, you know. And really, my thing is, like, I like to run. I don't really like confrontation. If things get heated, like, I just withdraw altogether. And I really struggle to, like, have an assertive conversation. Rather, like, assertiveness, I've never found that in our literature, but it's a principle that I have to work on continuously. You know, I'm a manager at my job, and I really struggle to apply it there with employees, and you know, I struggle to apply it in my marriage, and you know, like, kind of the, because then what I'll end up doing is I'll be trying to be assertive, and what it turns into is control. And so then I'm being assertive with this expectation that they do what I want them to do and how I want them to do it, you know, instead of just airing out what my beliefs and then kind of letting it go wherever it goes from there, you know, put it in God's hand from that point. Like, I can do that at the home group. I can be in a group conscience and like, put my opinion out there and then just let it go. But I really struggled to do that in other areas of my life. But my first sponsor used to say, like, spiritual principles are the same across the board, right? So, like, if I can apply it in this one area of my life, I can apply it in these other areas as well. You know, it just takes time, man. And so, yeah, man, I don't know, man. My life's just crazy right now with work and school and, like, sorry, guys, I'm getting nervous. My heart's just pounding. I've shared a lot throughout my recovery. Most of the time, it's just been my own story, and I come up here and speak of my story, and, like, I'm an expert at that, you know, because I've lived it. A lot of times when I get topics, I really struggle, because I try to come up here, and I try to all of a sudden be like a teacher and try to teach you guys the program of Narcotics Anonymous, but really, man, all I have is my experience, strength, and hope. Yep. You know, and so So yeah, so let me just get to that, man. I just finished this four step, my second four step. I worked it out of the working step four in Narcotics Anonymous IP. It was a grind. It was way more in depth than the step working guides. And man, I wrote a lot. I had a couple notebooks. Me and my sponsor had to sit down three separate times, like 18 hours total, going over all of this stuff. And you know, it's crazy how that stigma still kind of plagues me. Like I still feel like it wasn't thorough enough, you know, like I didn't get enough out of it. But some things were revealed to me, man, and it was funny. I was listening to Brandon yesterday share, and he was talking about hypocrisy, and that's really a lot. It was in my step work a lot. Like I hold people to these expectations, whether it be at the home group or in the meeting, at work, wherever, man, and then like I don't live by those expectations, you know. A lot through the resentments, there was certain members and the way they share in the meeting and how I want this pure Narcotics Anonymous message, but like forgetting that I'm just as capable of sharing some bullshit at any given moment, you know what I mean? So there was also, man, like, so I have this fear of abandonment, and it's kind of plagued me throughout my life, and I really didn't understand where it came from. And I started to realize, like, growing up, my parents divorced at a young age, and my mom was going to school to kind of better our lives or whatever, and she was always had a boyfriend, and I was alone a lot, you know what I mean? But, like, the way that I've been living since then is she basically dropped me off at a gas station and never came back. You know what I mean? But like, I wasn't abandoned. I never wanted for anything. She was always there and I always had what I needed. But like in my head, and then I feel guilty because again, she was trying to better our lives and do something different, you know? And so it's just crazy how the disease of addiction grabbed that reality and distorted it out of proportion over my life, and then I projected it on every relationship that I've been in since then. And I still do that, man. Like I still I want to say and do the things that will get the approval from you guys, right? Like, and our literature talks about it. The approval-seeking behavior carried us further into our addiction, right? And so, like, I still do that. Clean. 6 years clean, man. And I just have this fear that once you get to know me, the real me, then you won't want anything to do with me, you know? And so, like, I'm in step six. And step six is not been fun in my experience, right? It's like, it's really, I'm super aware of all these defects of character, and I'm trying to control them away, and it's all about becoming entirely ready, you know? And so really that's how I get entirely ready, is by getting just sick and tired of it, you know, because I can't just fix myself, and that's what I've always tried to do my whole life, you know. So yeah, I'm in the process of working through that. I'm just ready for more growth, and I know that through this program it just offers unlimited growth, and that's why I continue to stick around. And I'm grateful for the ones that have come before me and guided me through this process, because without them I would have nothing, you know. Like I shared before, normal people just don't get it, you know, and you guys do, and you've got me from the very beginning. And even though I had these fears of abandonment and all this stuff, man, like, you guys have shown me nothing but love and compassion the whole time that I've been here, you know. And I'm just grateful for that. And I'm still, you know, working through the process of learning to love myself. And although I've come a long way, like, the longer I stick around, the more growth I see that I need, You know, it's like the more awareness I have of how sick I actually am, you know. So yeah, man, I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful for you guys allowing me to come up here and share with you guys. And I think I'm done. That's all I got.
Thank you, John. Our next presenter is going to be Aaron W.
Hey y'all, I'm Aaron. I'm an addict.
Hey Aaron.
It is an honor for me to be here back in my home state to share with you guys. When Alan called me to do this, this was honestly the last thing that I was expecting the phone call to be about. You know, thank you for that. You know, this is a kind of a new experience for me. I haven't done this a whole lot. I think maybe my first sharing engagement was about a year ago in front of about 12 people, you know, at a local function we've got in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And here we are a year later, and it's a little bit mind-blowing to me, but I'm very comfortable with the number of people that are here in this room. I've shared at Agent I panels that are bigger than this, so I'm good. Man, it feels good to be here, be a service to Narcotics Anonymous. Man, it really does. The reason I'm standing up right now on my two feet and breathing air in this room is because of Narcotics Anonymous. I spent the weekend in Tulsa with my mother. Can't come to Oklahoma and not see mom, so I haven't been here very much, you know, but it's a gift that I get to go be a part of my family today. And I'm going to share here. I'm going to leave this afternoon. I'm going to go back. I'm going to mom's house, so thank y'all for having me. Well, I'm feeling good, you know. I mean, you can't tell me that I'm not an addict, okay? Yesterday, I'm like, this is a funny little story, right? That so I'm kind of mildly lactose intolerant, right? You know, and so I had the bright idea that I'm gonna go get some fucking frozen custard last night, you know. And knowing exactly what's going to happen, right? I know what's going to happen, and I fucking do it anyway. You know what I mean? So, well, I'm feeling great right now, let me tell you that. Man, my topic comes out of how it works. Our only hope is to live by the example of those who have faced our dilemma and found a way out. I mean, it was the people from this region, and particularly the eastern area of Oklahoma and Tulsa, who first carried the message to me. This was about 2015 or 16. I'd come to my first NA meeting down there at Jimmy's place. Not because, you know, things were particularly bad and my life was a wreck, which it was, but, you know, in my own mind, I'm like, it's been worse than this. You know, I came to my first meeting because of a member of the opposite sex, right? She was going, and her and I had been getting high together in the past, and she's like, man, you should come to this meeting, right, you know? And she's telling me, hey, man, you're a little fucked up. You might want to come to this meeting. Yeah, so I did that, you know? And I love that I don't feel like any of us, or at least in my experience, right, that I found Narcotics Anonymous by accident. You know, I didn't walk into an NA meeting because things were great. My higher power used the perfect bait for me to get me into the room, right? And by that point, I hadn't gotten with the fact that I was that I needed to abstain from all drugs in order to recover, right? I still was under the delusion that I could use, smoke a little of this, drink a little of that, do this, that. As long as I'm not overdosing all the time, I'll probably be okay, right? Well, experience shows that was not true, you know. And I came to those meetings. I was still using. I was picking up clean time, you know. And I'd like to think that I was slick and smart and nobody knew it. But with the experience that I have now, they knew it, you know. Y'all knew. And you know what you did? Told me to keep coming back and carried the fucking message to me, you know. And the seed was planted. And needless to say, me and old girl went out on a sick one. God, it was awful. You know what I mean? And here, several years later, 3 years later, I knew where I needed to go. You know what I mean? That seed was planted. I'd seen the evidence in these other addicts' lives in Tulsa that this program was working for them, right? That they were living by the principles contained within this program, and that they were like me, and they had found the way out. That evidence was there. I could see this is a proven program, right? It's evidence-based for me, and I can see the evidence in my own life that what I was doing was not working. And what y'all were doing obviously had some kind of positive effect on your life because you were happy, you were clean, you more or less had your shit together. I don't think that any of us ever completely have our shit together, you know, but we make it work. And, you know, I had tried everything I could possibly think of to try to use successfully. Or stop using drugs for any remarkable amount of time that I could think of, right? Because I'm so smart that I can think my way around the disease of addiction. And I dealt with, you know, our literature talks about a lot of misinformed people, right? And I believe that I was the first of those misinformed people because I did not know what I suffered from, And y'all did. Y'all knew. You know, I was convinced that you would have to have some kind of a degree or a qualification or some kind of, you know, status to know what was wrong with me. I dealt with pastors, doctors, all of these things, right? Like John talked about the magic formula. I tried to, if I could find the right combination of things in my life, the right woman, the right job, if I had enough money, right, if I had enough friends, I could finally, maybe I could figure out a way to do it. And I beat my head against the wall with that for a real long time. And finally, I'd found Narcotics Anonymous. You know, also, me being misinformed, right, it was, I stole this from my sponsor, you know, which I stole a lot of the things I've learned in this program from y'all because that's how we do it, right? It's just one addict helping another. I just copy what you guys have told me and taught me, and I apply it to my life. And the shit has worked. For going on almost 5 years now. You know, how could they be properly informed when I'm dishonest in all of my affairs, right? How could they know what was wrong with me when the disease is presenting itself in antisocial ways, right? I don't want these people to know how fucked up I really am because I'm still trying to keep it together on the surface, still trying to make it look good. So how could they help me? And that can still be true today in Narcotics Anonymous, right? If I'm not honestly sharing about the shit that's going on with me, how can you guys help me? You can't. That's how. You can't. You know, but I found Narcotics Anonymous, man, and you guys knew what I suffered from. You guys taught me that I suffered from a disease, right? That I was not a piece of shit. Like I have been told by many of these other misinformed people, you know. I've been told, you need to find Jesus. You need to get the fuck out of the state of Oklahoma. Which I did that. but not because I was forced to, you know. But you guys taught me what I suffered from. I found Narcotics Anonymous, where I finally, for the first time in my life, felt seen and understood and loved. You know, it's a fucking beautiful thing. I'm getting emotional right now thinking about it. You know, to finally learn what I suffer from after trying to figure out by myself, right? Trying to take my own way through the disease. What a relief that was. You know, and I love this word dilemma. This is a problem involving a difficult choice. That's the definition that I like. You know, I've been taught, we can get a basic text and get a dictionary. And, you know, we study the literature, right? Because the basic text for me, what it says is a textbook for a recovering addict. And we study it like that. And I think that's very interesting. This looks like a college classroom to me. It reminds me, and I've treated this book like a school book, you know, and it's been a process I've been going through for a little over a year now, and it's changed my life. It has changed my life. A problem involving a difficult choice, right? I had a very difficult choice to make, right? My dilemma for me is that I cannot live with or without drugs. Okay, and I will face many other very difficult choices throughout my recovery, usually because of my own doing, right? I had a choice to make initially. Do I stop using drugs or do I go on to the bitter ends? Right? And for me, when I'm using, I want to die, okay? So for me, it was, do I want to live or do I want to die? You know, for the longest time, I was very convinced that that's what I wanted, was to die. I used so that I wouldn't fucking shoot myself for many years, you know? Living to use, using to live. My biggest, you know, we don't talk about triggers and all that shit. It's the only word I can think of to use right now. Is my biggest trigger was that I woke up, okay? That I was even awake. I was upset that I was alive. So the only way I had to cope with that was to get high, you know? And here I am living a life that's beyond my wildest dreams, right? That I could have never imagined I was able to live. It is fucking amazing, man. What a change. What a change from the way we used to be. You know, but I've had to face several dilemmas, right, in my recovery. And I rely upon, right, heavily the experience of others, because I know that if I grab a hold of something and try to direct it myself, typically I'm going to fuck it up. That's what I'm good at. And a lot of them have involved personal relationships. One in particular, and this was a situation that almost cost me my clean date, to be honest, and it led me up to making the choice to change sponsors and just do something different, right, to re-engage myself with this program. I was dating this girl for a little while, a couple of years, with maybe 2 or 3 years clean. She was using, she was drinking a lot, you know, and I was blinded, right, and I can look back now and had I had my head out of my ass, I would have never been in that relationship to begin with. And I went through, you know, and she got pretty ugly. And, you know, she decided that she wanted to quit drinking. But by this point, I was already just so mentally out of this relationship that I didn't really care what was going on, you know, but I couldn't get honest with the fact with her or anybody else that I didn't want to be in this relationship. People ask me, oh, how are you and your girlfriend doing? That's good. You know, things are going okay. You know, we're doing this, we're doing that. You know, and it gotten to the point where in my head, right, I was out of the relationship. I couldn't tell anybody the truth about it, right? You know, I had my meeting attendance had gone to shit. I hadn't hardly talked to my sponsor for months, right? I had not worked a step in over a year. You know, I'd started going to school. I was too busy for Narcotics Anonymous, right? And I'd got to a point in my head where I had convinced myself, right, that I could, I was going to go to Tulsa and hang out, and I was going to cheat on this sick. Right, sick in my own head. And that's when I realized at that point that I had a complete lack of spiritual principles and I was experiencing spiritual death. I was on my way to a relapse. You know, I will relapse spiritually way before I ever get high. Getting high will be the last poor decision in a series of poor decisions due to a lack of applying spiritual principles in my life. It's as simple as the first one that we ever hear about, right, in our three indispensables, honesty. And I realized at that point that I was very sick and that I needed to do something, because if I go to Tulsa and I do this, right, I cheat on my girlfriend and I keep that a secret, how many other secrets am I going to be keeping, until I'm getting high, and I'm still going to the meeting trying to keep up appearances, right? Fuck, that sounds like a miserable existence. You know, I was miserable. I was clean, but I was so sick. And I finally had gotten honest with her. You know, here was my dilemma. Obviously, this is going to hurt her feelings. You know, one difficult choice. Do I do that? Right? Or do I continue living this lie? Which of those two things is more harmful to both her and me? It's option B, if you didn't know. So I had to do that, man. It was very difficult. She was fucking heartbroken. You know, through the program, right, and making an amends, I make living amends to her. I've made direct amends to her, right? We're friends today. I have a cat. My cat is at her house right now while I'm here. You know, it's a beautiful thing from this program. You know, but she went from a point of, I was very convinced that she was going to stab me, you know, at that point. There's evidence of that, right? Because I've been to her house since then, and there's a big dent in the sink from a knife, right? You know, because I was like, then what happened to your sink? She goes, I was having a moment, you know what I mean? And I fucking stabbed the sink with a knife. At that point, I was like, fuck, man. There's the full weight, right, of the consequences of my actions and how they affect other people. It doesn't just affect me. It's not about me, right? Like, I have to do this so that I don't get high, right? My fucking disease, right, and me, my lack of spiritual principles is fucking crushing other people, you know? I had to change sponsors, man. I immediately came back. I hadn't heard from my sponsor, I hadn't seen him in a meeting in a long time, and that shit was rolling downhill for me. I changed sponsors, I got honest about where I was at in the meeting. I said, hey man, I'm here, I'm fucked up, right? I'm clean, but I'm a wreck. Dude, I cried in meetings for probably 2 weeks, because I was just dead inside, man. I was fucking spiritually dead. To come out on the other side and like feel some life again is it's fucking beautiful, man. And to just see the program working in my life and the evidence, right? So I got here, I knew nothing. I had nothing. I did not know what to do with myself, you know, for you guys to pick me up and show me how to live. You know, I had to rely on the experience of other addicts to show me how to function in relationships. And admittedly, I'm still not that great at it. You know, I'm still trying to figure out what it is that I want, you know, and who I am, right, and what boundaries and what things I'm willing to accept and not accept. It's been a learning process. I've gone through yet a second breakup. This is becoming a fucking pattern in my life. You know, this one was much more of a mutual decision and not a not me living in the disease and ending something. You know, I had to. This was another dilemma. I feel a little bit, I'm not going to lie, I feel a little bit weird sharing about this because there's some people in the room that know her, but I don't give a fuck, really. I'm gonna share it anyway. You know, I'd never really had a strong desire to have kids or be a father, right, or deal with anybody else's kids. And I had convinced myself, right, the disease had convinced me that I was fucked up for feeling that. Right, that was self-centered, okay? And this is what happens, right? I know I've come out on the other side of this. I've talked about this to some people, and I know that I was wrong, okay? You know, but this is what happens, like I was talking about earlier. If I don't share what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling with other people, right, this shit's going to fucking snowball into something completely fucked up, you know? I was feeling this shit, and I had convinced myself that I was just a fucking garbage can for not wanting to do that, right? But, you know, I've shared with other people that I get to make that choice today. You know, I don't have kids, so I get to make that choice for my own life. That's a boundary I want to set. That's a value that I have. That's morals and values that I have. Okay, and then I get to live by those if I want to. I don't get clean to do a bunch of shit that I don't want to do, you know? That was a fucking difficult decision to make, you know? I did not feel like I wanted to uproot my life and move an hour away from where I lived, where I have family, where I have a job that I have a great future in. You know, and I can also get honest about this fact. Like, I love this girl. She is nothing. I've not one fucking bad thing to say about her. You know, but here's where the truth may be. Right? Is that idea that I don't want to have kids or deal with anybody else's kids may change. Okay, and maybe I didn't like or love her enough to want to deal with her kid. You know. So, man, I share this with other people, and they tell me where I'm fucked up, and they tell me how to live, right? So I'm just learning. I'm just flowing around here in this ocean of Narcotics Anonymous of life, right? Learning how to be a productive member of this society. I do some work within this society, right? And I learn how to function out there and how to deal with other people and what I want and what my boundaries and the things that I want for my life, and I get to stand on that shit today, no matter how difficult that decision may be. It's a beautiful thing, even though it's painful, right? That was a painful decision for me to make, because I knew the effect that it was going to have on her or on others, you know, but thank God she works a good program, and we're still friends today. We still speak. I spoke to her this morning. As a matter of fact, she wished me luck here. She knew I was coming here. So, you know, I love that. And it's only through the experience of other addicts that I'm able to make these kind of decisions, share these things, and find the way out of it, you know. I feel like I'm running out of stuff to say, so I'm going to read this. This was something that I had selected that I felt fit what I've been saying pretty well. So what can I do? Page 57. So one of the most profound changes in our lives is in the realm of personal relationships. Our earliest involvements with others often begin with our sponsor. As newcomers, we find it easier if we have someone whose judgment and trust. And in whom we can confide. We find that trusting others with more experience is a strength rather than a weakness, you know, because I can let the disease tell me some shit, like, because I've been here for a couple of days, that I shouldn't feel a certain way, or that certain things shouldn't be happening in my life, you know. And I've got to run that shit by some other people. You know, because when I get into some disease thinking, I will let that snowball, and I will try to hide it, because if I just try to keep up appearances, you know, I will get sick and I will stay sick if I don't share where the fuck I'm at in my recovery and what's going on. Then I will not recover. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you again, John. You guys did great. Let's give them both a round of applause. All right, let us make some kind of a shape and close.